Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. One of the things I've noticed personally and as I work with my clients as a professional organizer is the more that you dive into one area of organization, the more you can continually refine that system. So today, I want to talk to you about how I organize my paper files and my tax documents, tell you some of the ways that I am refining my systems this year as I continue to refine them year after year. And I'm also going to talk to you about a system that I tried last year that really didn't work. So today, I'm going to talk to you about three things. One is, how do you collect the tax documents that you have? Like, how do you organize them and when do you do them? And how do you make it so it's not like Chinese water torture getting that done? And then second, I want to talk to you about how to purge your filing cabinet. Like, if this is the year that you're going to purge your actual filing cabinet, what is the easiest way to do that? And then third, how I have systematized and streamlined my home-based business income and expense process over the last 20 years. And it took me the whole 20 years. All right, so let's start with the easiest thing, but maybe the most pressing thing right now for you, which is collecting your tax documents. I'm the kind of person, I would much rather do all of the laundry on Sunday. Give me 7 to 10 loads to do, that is fine. But I don't want to do a load of laundry every single day. Like, that is torture for me. I want to do projects in big chunks, which is why it drives me absolutely bananas that starting at the very end of January through the middle of February, in the mail every day is something new that I need to keep for my taxes. Or maybe something came early in January that I needed for my taxes. And once or twice, I've actually missed whatever that is and had to get it filed. So I feel like I'm in the middle of this Chinese water torture of drip, drip, drip. Like, every day, here's something that you don't want to miss. And have you thought about that? And okay, here's a new paper that you're going to need for your taxes. And what category are you going to file that in? And here's what I find, why I like to work in big projects and not small chunks. And I think people are one or the other. So I'm definitely a big project person, big picture person. When I go through my mail and I see that there's a tax document there, my brain starts thinking, where do I categorize this? How do I write that off? Or is that an expense? And how's that going to affect your return? Like, I start down this rabbit trail in my mind. I don't know how many times I've told you guys that organization starts first in your mind. Everything starts in your mind. You know, being able to focus is the number one thing that is going to make you successful in the future, because distractions are everywhere and our minds are working against us. Like they're trying, they really are, but we have to like control our mind. So when I open a tax mail document, I start thinking about what is the next action step I need to take with that document. And it takes time. So as much as I love the Sunday basket, I super, super love the Sunday basket at tax time, because I don't even want to open that mail. I don't want to let my brain start thinking about, when are you going to find the time to file this tax documentation? And where's the other piece that goes with this? And did you know about that? And so I feel like I'm in this Chinese water torture where they just drip, you know, drops on your head and drive you crazy. That's how I feel it is when you're getting little bits of information that you need to file your taxes in the mail. You get it in email. You think about it. It's in your files. It's everywhere. So number one, you need to have a file, a box, or a basket that is just for tax information. Like, don't even put it in the Sunday basket. Set aside another area or an area of your kitchen counter or a space on the dining room table or somewhere where you and your spouse, if you have one, know that this is where all tax documentation goes. And then as everything comes in, just let it pile up in that space. As you think about, oh, I want to make sure that that charitable donation gets written off, or, oh, I was collecting the property tax information. I have that in a different file. So as those things come to your mind, go ahead, go get that file, go get that information, and just put it in that basket, box, file, or on that place on the dining room table. Then when you go ahead and sit down to do your taxes, I suggest setting aside a chunk of time, 3-4 hours, to actually open all the mail, organize it all, put it on our accountant sends us a packet that I fill out. Like, I have all the documentation, but I put all of the dollar amounts into that packet. So I sit down and I do that all at one time. You may not be able to do that. You might have to, you know, 30 minutes, an hour here and there. That might be what all fits in your schedule. But if at all possible, if you could sit down and do it in one time, you will get it done so much faster, because as your mind starts saying, oh, did you remember that charitable deduction? Or what about that hospital trip that you took in February? Part of that is deductible. You'll go get that information and make more progress than if your brain has to keep starting and stopping over again. And third, after you have completed your taxes for the year, take an extra 10 minutes, grab a piece of paper, and make notes to yourself, like remember to find property tax information, or the school that your kids go to is a tax deduction, or whatever it is that you have or needed to look for or find this year. Put that on a piece of paper and put it in a file for next year so that you can start with that paper and jog your mind. And I have a picture of the paper that I use every year. Every year, I pull that paper out and I put it right there in that box that I'm using to collect all of the tax information. When I sit down to do taxes, I look at that first to see if there's anything I need to collect off of my bank statements, email, out of files in order to complete our tax documentation. And then at the end of the year, I add to that anything I need to know. Like, here's a simple thing. If you write off mileage on your car and you are self-employed, then I always forget this, but you need to know the odometer reading of your car at the beginning of the year and the end of the year. So on this piece of paper, I will just write down my car right now has 172,000 miles on it. So I will write down 172,000 miles on this piece of paper. Next year, the number's right there. I'll just scratch it out and replace it with whatever the new number is that I need for my taxes. That is something that, no kidding, has cost me so much time and headache over the years, trying to remember what the mileage is, going out and pulling out last year's tax documentation to find out what I wrote down the mileage was, figuring, you know, sometimes you have to figure these things out and calculate them in your head. So the more things like that you could just write on a basic piece of paper, it does not need to be typed, and it just goes back into the file, will save you so much time. All right, now for some reason, I may be the only one, but I think that there's something about when you do your taxes, you want to purge your files. I don't think I'm the only one. Like, you don't do this in the middle of the summer or even in the fall, but there's this real feeling when you are filing your taxes to look at all the other files that are in your filing cabinet. And over the last 5 years, I have really reduced the amount of files we have. We have a lateral filing cabinet, which means that when you open the drawer, you could see two sets of files, one on the left and one on the right, and it's two drawers. So I think it's the equivalent of a four drawer high filing cabinet, although it's not as deep. Like, lateral drawers, I don't think are as deep as a regular traditional filing cabinet is. Somebody else can fill in the details on that, but that's how many files I have. And I have gone through and I have purged these files. So the first time I did it was when I wrote the book, 10 Steps to Organizing Paper. That summer, I organized every single paper in my house. And one of the things that I organized were files. So I cover that in that book. And I found that as I opened up every single file, I would just get rid of as much as I could, or if I could get rid of the whole file, I would. And I probably got rid of 80% of our files because, you know, I was a child of the 70s and the 80s, and we didn't have computers and we printed out everything. And if you wanted to dispute something at a bank, you had to have your physical credit card receipt and your credit card statement to go in and dispute it. Not that I ever did, but I was always told that, you know, that's how you did it. There was no way to look up this information. So when I sat down, you know, 3 or 4 years ago and went through all my papers, there was so much in there that is either electronically available or no longer even relevant at all in this day and age that I was able to get rid of. So if you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, you can bet you're going to be getting rid of about 80% of what you have kept that is in those filing cabinets. Now, organizing your files and purging your filing cabinet, obviously you take out a file, you look at what's in there, you decide what can be recycled, what can be shredded, what needs to be kept, put the file back in the filing cabinet. Last year, I found this product called Freedom Filer or Freedom Files. I can't remember what it's called, but it was super, super cool. And the idea was that all the files were the same color, but the labels were different colors. And so every category was a different color, like taxes, I think, were blue, and financial was green, and I think house was orange. I can't remember the exact files. Important files were red. And I loved that idea because I'd already been color coding files on my own, only I had color coded based on the file. Like, I actually got red files and orange files and blue files and green files, and I would color code that way. But I wasn't color coding the labels, or when I was, it was super hard to keep up with color coding the labels and finding the right color. So I bought the system, and I know a lot of other people bought it on my recommendation. And I started using it with my clients because organizing by color is so great. Like when you open up a filing cabinet and you know that all of your tax documentation is blue and you see a drawer of blue, you know you're in the tax area, and then you could start looking at what the labels say. It's just an extra organizational layer for your brain. Colors are awesome. But what I found with the system was all of the labels were pre-printed, color pre-printed labels. So it would say like home, home insurance, auto, auto insurance, which was great, except a lot of my clients had two or three homes, or they had six cars. And so when they had these multiple amounts, there weren't that many labels for car insurance or different states, you know, because their houses are in different states. We had to have different insurance for different states. And there were blank labels in there that I could write on, but it didn't look the same. So then you went from this Pinterest-like looking filing cabinet, which is what we were going for, to a kind of Pinterest-like filing cabinet, because I had to write on so many labels in order to actually file their papers correctly. So I've since stopped using the Freedom Files in my business and in my personal home, but I've kept the color coding concept, and I've kind of come up with uniform colors that I use when I color code my clients and myself. You can use whatever clients you want. So this year, when I went through my files and I realized that the Freedom File system really wasn't working, what would work for me, I already had a bunch of colored hanging files. Tons of them, tons of colors. I had them all in my possession. And I was like, all right, if I was starting from scratch, what would I do? How would I organize this? Now, my family color is blue, like a deep navy blue. And then I had filing cabinets that were, or files that were dark blue and files that were like a royal or a lighter blue. I also had yellow, orange, red, purple, black, pink. I mean, like I have like every color of the rainbow of these hanging files. So I logically assigned everything in my filing cabinet a color based on how I do binders. Now I'm just going to mention binders for a second. We're not going to go into this. The reason why my filing cabinets are pretty empty is because I use binders for anything that really is an ongoing project or something that I reference often. So each of my kids have a binder for all of their school stuff. I have a household binder. I have multiple work binders. So anything that is current paper filing or something that I reference on a regular basis is not in a file. Okay. So that's something totally different. All right. So when I did this, and what I love about this is if you go to coloring your filing system, number one, it doesn't matter what kind of labels you use. They can all just be clear white. So you can move them from different file. That's super easy. And number two, if you have not organized your filing cabinet in 20 years and you want to start organizing your filing cabinet and you use color-coded hanging files, you can do this project over the next year and always know where you left off. So let's say you're going to start with your medical files. You're going to get the medical binder I have and put all the information in there and go through all of your medical files. Well, my medical binder is red, so my medical files are red. And the idea is that every file that you pull out and you go through and decide what can be shredded, what can be recycled, and what needs to be saved. Once you have what needs to be saved, you take it out of whatever color filing folder it is in right now and you put it in a new red file folder with a label on it, like mom's medical or whatever, however you're going to label them. And that way, you literally can take like three or four files out of your filing cabinet up into the family room and sort them every night when you watch TV or when, you know, you guys are making dinner. One spouse is doing the files and the other one's making dinner, whatever. You could do two or three files every day, every week, and put them into the color. And then when you go downstairs, now you have four red files. Next, you're going to do financial. And maybe you had 30 financial files, but it's going to end up being in six files. And my filing color for financial is green because money is green. And I pick red for medical because the red cross is red. And so that reminds me of medical. Like I'm very visual. So that's how I pick my colors. Some of the other colors I have are orange is for insurance. And because the house and the car are insured, the house and the car files go there too. So I have an orange file for insurance and then an orange one for each of the cars and an orange one for house. And for us, it's house ideas or house maintenance, whatever's not in the house binder. Then I have the blue files are for family. So I have family binders upstairs. So the only things that would be downstairs are files that get pulled out of the filing cabinet and into my kitchen counter filing system. So I have a file for Christmas, and I have a file for spring break, and I have a file for summer planning, but I don't have all those in my kitchen all the time. So they reside in my filing cabinet in the basement, and then they get pulled up into my kitchen filing when I need them. Also in those files are school. Like, I don't keep everything for my kids' school in my kitchen filing cabinet anymore. I used to when the kids were in grade school. But now that they're in middle school and high school, really that's reference material. There's not much in those files that I need to look for on a regular basis. They have their own cell phones. They call their own friends. They, you know, have the sporting stuff is upstairs, but they're handbook for the school, financial aid information, how you sign up for a lunch account, all that stuff is in the basement file. So, but those are kind of current family files that I use on a regular basis, and I pull those files upstairs. Those are in the dark blue in the front of my filing cabinet. Now, in the back of my filing cabinet, I have the lighter, more royal blue. Those are also family files, but they're more my reference family files, like programs my kids used to qualify for or might in the future, or I did research for some for this Title IV-E and actually filed a court case about it for my kids. And so that's in there, like just random stuff that I really can't get rid of that information yet, but it's not current stuff, is all there in those royal blue. So I just have medical, financial, family files, car and insurance files, and then those reference family files in the basement. That's all of the family files that I have. Then on the other side of the lateral file, I have my business files, and I have those in three colors. Now remember, anything that I'm currently using in my business is upstairs in my office in binders. So this is more reference information that I took out of my binders. I have three colors. Yellow is the color I use for Cincinnati Professional Organization information. So in there are all my employee information, what I need for a new hire, and any past client documentation that I need to keep. Then I have black files, and those are just reference. Like, I think I have my reader survey there and the different brands that I work with in the past. And then the pink files are past publications that I've been in, places I've been mentioned, and products that I used to sell or the creation of products that are currently being sold. Then in the bottom drawer of my lateral filing cabinet are where all of my tax documentation is. And I think that when you get to the point where you can really purge your filing cabinet and get rid of almost everything, the thing that you're not going to get rid of is tax information. So in this post, I'm going to have a printable for you, which is called To Shred or Not to Shred. And it tells you when you can shred different things based on the research that I've done on the IRS and banks and stuff like that. I've gone through the internet, figured out what can be shredded when and how you could dispose of things. And basically, the rule is you have to keep any supporting information for anything that you write off on your taxes for 7 years if you're self-employed. I think it's 3 years if you are just individually filing your taxes and you're employed by a corporation and get a W-2 and not a 1099 or file a Schedule C. I file a Schedule C because I have a lot of businesses. So I need to keep all of the supporting tax documentation, which means every receipt for every single thing that I have ever bought for my business for the last 7 years. And when you see the pictures on the blog, you'll see I have a lot of receipts and a lot of tax documentation. But as far as like your actual taxes, I know you can shred them, like your actual tax returns. I don't know if it's 7 years or 10 years, you can actually shred them, but I just don't. Like we have them all the way back to the 80s, because Greg started working in the 80s. So 1985 tax return all the way until 2015. All of those are still in there. And you could see how we have those in our filing cabinet. So when I organized them this year, I separated out the substantiating tax documentation from our actual filed taxes. So our accountant always gives us our taxes in one of those folders that have the three prongs in them, and he puts it all in there real nice, and then he labels it on the outside what year it is. So every single one looks exactly the same. They're always in different colors, and it's just kind of, those are all of our taxes all the way back. And on the right hand of the filing cabinet, that's what those are. And I put two or three or four, depending on the year, of those in one hanging file folder, and they're not labeled at all because they're just in chronological order. Like really, 1 year, Greg and I just started looking at some of the older ones, like how much we made you know, 20, 30 years ago. It's just interesting historical information. Then on the left side of that lateral drawer, I've put in larger files, like the files that they have like a 2-inch base to them. I cannot remember what they're called, but they're for holding thicker amounts of information. And I have those labeled with post-it notes. I'm telling you, people, I am not the Pinterest person. I am your functional organizer. So when I went through and did this and pulled all of the tax documentation out of the files, I just got a big file folder and labeled it 2015, 2014, 2013 with post-it notes. And I put them in there chronologically. And the idea is that right now, I just put all of my 2015 documentation in there. So then I went back and I shredded, I think it's 2008. Like I pulled everything out of the 2008 one, shredded that, and then I moved that file folder to the front to put the documentation. So the amount that's in that side of the filing cabinet will not grow because next year when I file my taxes, then I'm just going to shred 2009. I think I can't remember the exact 7 years. Also, I used to be super, super afraid of being audited. But when you're audited, you're only audited for the current year. And then if there's a discrepancy, they go back 3 years. And then if they find that you have not filed your taxes and you're totally fraudulent, that's when they would go back all the way 7 years. So obviously, I keep all of my tax documentation, like I'm super anal about it. We have an accountant file our taxes. He's very, very reputable, been in business forever. So the odds of me being audited by the IRS and them actually needing my tax documentation back to 7 years is like -0%. Like it's not going to happen. I'm just doing it as an insurance policy. Okay, lots and lots of talk about that. Now, I do have in my mind that maybe next year the thing that I will do is to digitize everything. I'm not sure. Scanning and digitizing, I keep going back and forth on it. So nothing I have is scanned, like nothing. It's in a file, it's in a binder, it's wherever. It's, and you know me, I even print out my emails. So there, I make you feel better if it's not all scanned. The last thing I want to talk to you about is how I have systematized and organized my home-based business income and expenses and how I'm going forward in 2016. So in 2015, I had outsourced some of my bookkeeping in 2014, and in 2015, I took it all back for a myriad of reasons. But one of the things I really focused on in 2015 was really looking at my income and expenses daily. Like I was logging into our bank account every single day to see how the money was flowing through our family and how the money was flowing through my business. And I'm the kind of person that if I need something, I just buy it. And if there are two levels to buy, I always buy the higher level. And I just love education. So I buy all kinds of conferences and programs, and I'm always looking to improve myself and to help others. And I really needed in 2015 to analyze what was really logical to do for my business, what was really necessary, and what was just nice to have, or in some cases were things that were great when I started blogging 4 years ago, but now there's a newer program out, or maybe that program isn't even necessary anymore because whatever that program used to do is now an automated task in a different program. This is one of the problems of being a home-based business owner is you keep acquiring expenses and things to make it easier for you to do your job, but it is hard to take the time to just sit down and go back and find out if there's an easier or cheaper way or if you even need to be doing things. And you know that I've kind of been purging my business and streamlining what I share with you over the last year as well. So this was part of it. So the idea that I got rid of 30% of my blog posts and 30% of my Pinterest boards and 30% of the pins that I had, which is really interesting. If you get rid of a whole bunch of pins or Pinterest boards, you actually lose followers. So if you're a business owner, like I went from 23,000 followers down to 17,000 followers when I eliminated some of my Pinterest boards. So in case you just, you know, follow me whole hog into those kind of things, just know that your numbers statistically will change as well, which is fine because some of those boards that I got rid of really are not my core message. I want you to come to the blog. I want you to come to the podcast. I want you to come to the app. I want you to come to the Pinterest boards or wherever I am. And I only want to be talking to you about how to organize your home and your home-based business. You're not going to find information on how to organize your corporation, or I think I had on there a lot of like holiday crafts, and I had a whole board on minions. Like, I don't know, they're cute and they're fun, but they don't really meet my business goals, and they're going to distract you from doing what you need to do, which today is organizing your files and your taxes. Okay, so in this process, I have over the last couple of years, just like I told you when I do my taxes, I write down what I need for the next year so I have a starting point. I'd been refining these sheets that I was making like every month. This is the expenses I have, and these are the things I need to remember in order to do my income and expenses. Now, I've been self-employed for 20 years, and I started in direct sales. And the thing that I know a lot of you are in direct sales, and the thing that I notice about direct sellers is there is no good way for you to track your income and expenses for whatever reason. Like, there just aren't forms out there. The forms that are out there are confusing. And even talking about it, I know it's confusing. I don't know why. It shouldn't be this confusing, but it is to track income and expenses. So I've been working on an income and expense worksheet really for a couple of years. And last year, I kind of hit my groove. And one of the things I did was I made a list of a whole bunch of the expenses I have every single month. So as a blogger, podcaster, with my newsletter, all of those things, there are certain expenses, they're ongoing subscription services that I need. Like, it costs me to send out email. It costs me to host this podcast. It costs me to host my blog. And then with the blog, there are like 12 other expenses that you have to have every single month. Like, for example, because I allow you to leave comments on my blog, other robots will find blogs and submit spam. And if you don't have this $5 a month spam filter thing called Ask-O-Met, then you will literally wake up and have 500 comments every single day, but none of them are legitimate, and it'll totally make your blog crash. Then if you want to have any kind of an email service, you have to have this thing called FeedBlitz, another $5 a month. And you have to have hosting, $67 a month. And you have to, so all of these things add up to a certain amount that you have to have, and you really can't have a blog without it. So there's like a mortgage for a blog, is what somebody told me. Like, you have your base expenses, and that's like your mortgage for your blog. And then a podcast has that, and the app has that. And so all the things that I offer through Organize 365 have base expenses every single month to keep them hosted and online. So I came up with a checklist of how much that was, which also helped me come up with a baseline of, hey, you start out the month with $2,000 worth of expenses, even if you don't buy a thing. And that's really important when you are a business owner. And so I'll just take direct sales, for example. If you buy from a direct sales company, that consultant that you're buying from is paying that company every single month to have a website, usually somewhere between $9 and $15 a month. They are paying for that newsletter that you get mailed. Some companies it's free, some companies it's $3, $4, $5 a month. So every company you're with, you're going to start out, if you do nothing that month, like you go on vacation that whole month, you still have $20 of expenses just because you have an online store. And we forget these things until we get to the end of the year, or we nullify it because it's just $20. But it's not just $20. You have postage, you have advertising expenses, you have a cell phone bill, you have internet expenses, you have these things that are a base amount of expenses that you have for your business. And I was forgetting that. And so if I would go out and do a couple organizing jobs, or I would get a coaching client, I would think, great, I made X amount of money. And I would think it was the money that I just deposited in my bank account. And it's not true. I don't make any money until I bring in X amount. And then after that is when I make a profit, and you pay your taxes on that and everything. And so really getting clear about, if you're running a business and not a hobby, what are your regular expenses? What can you cut back? Okay, I've gone on a whole nother tirade. I got to stop myself. Okay, so there's a little bit of information. If you go to this podcast, the information, you're going to see just the basic chunks of what I talked about, and then a link to the blog post. So if you head on over to the blog post, you can see the sheet that I use to every year to do my taxes and the notes that I make for myself. You can see the pictures of my filing cabinets with all the hanging colored file folders in there and what that all looks like. Have a great week and enjoy doing your taxes.